Time joined by Charlie Pierce for our look at the week's news. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Bill.
Hall of Fame running back and longtime broadcaster Frank Gifford died in August, Charlie. On Wednesday, his family revealed that he had been suffering from CTE. It's significant to note that Gifford was apparently very interested in studying the connection between repetitive head trauma and that particular disease.
Yes, apparently there are a lot of people out there who became essentially interested in neurology once they found themselves forgetting the way home, which is actually good for the research because they do so while they're still aware enough to will their brains after death to research and so forth. So, yeah, I mean, this is a very high-profile one, though, and it makes you wonder how long he actually was feeling the symptoms.
Well, as you point out, a very high-profile, huge success in
right.
the National Football League.
And then a television star.
Like Junior Seau, like yeah. any number of other players we've discussed. Is there a tipping point to this?
I don't think so at this point. I mean, if I shudder to say this, but the fact is it seems like it's becoming part of the price you pay.
Last March, NFL owners voted to allow an independent trainer.
As I was saying briefly before.
Exactly. This trainer could stop a game if he or she felt the player had suffered a concussion that nobody else had noticed. Players sort of stumbling around in circles and
falling down
around him is continuing. How'd that work out when the Rams played the Ravens on Sunday?
This was unbelievable. Case Keenum got hit and behaved over the next couple of minutes like he was in a Three Stooges short. I mean, he had everything but cartoon canaries flying out of his ears. He couldn't stand up. He couldn't stand straight. He fell to all four, and guess what happened?
Nothing.
They put him back, and they left him in the game. We still have an awfully long way to go in this sport.
I'm assuming you watched the veritable cornucopia of NFL games on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, God, no. I watched enough of Detroit and the Eagles to understand that the Eagles have pretty much quit on their coach, and their coach has pretty much quit on them. So that was about all the football I watched.
All right. I don't know if you watched enough of the Detroit game to see Calvin Johnson's touchdown reception as the Lions won 45-14 over the Eagles. That catch gives him a touchdown reception on 7 Thanksgiving days in a row. So, heh, heh, the rest is gravy, right?
Oh, there we are,
I'm
ladies
back.
And gentlemen. You are back. yeah, I did actually see that catch, and it was made quite a big deal of because of the tradition of having a game in Detroit on Thanksgiving Day, which, of course, has never been the same since they started playing indoors.
The NFL made public the list of teams that are going to play 3 games in London next season. Looking at the 6 teams that will be involved, I get the sense the NFL is trying to punish people in London with the games that they're setting
up. They're sending the Jaguars every year until 2020. What did they ever do to us?
I wonder.
The Jaguars are still going to stink in 2020.
Given the theme of this week's show, which is home, of course, if a team that's played more than once in London has a home field advantage over a team that's showing up there for the first time.
Certainly by 2019, the Jaguars will be considered to be a home team.
There you go.
And by the way, by 2021, they may actually be playing in London.
Before I hand you another opportunity to yell sports, I want to invite you to further embellish the theme of this show, which is
home.
You're a Massachusetts guy, but you've traveled all over the place. You graduated from Marquette in Wisconsin. Is there some particular place that you regard as home in terms of sports?
Certainly Fenway Park. Much as I'm not a baseball guy, I do enjoy Fenway Park. Beyond that, I'd have to say the old Milwaukee Arena, which they don't play basketball in really anymore. Mostly they get a lot of third-rate 1970s hair metal bands. But the old Roll Top Desk is probably my favorite of arenas. That, and as I was growing up, the Worcester Memorial Auditorium, which still stands.
Yeah. What's the most dramatic home field advantage you've ever encountered going to a game?
Well, not going to a game, but the most dramatic home field advantage I ever saw. There was a fighter named Barry McGuigan about 20 years ago. Barry McGuigan, this was right in the middle of the Troubles in Northern Ireland. Barry McGuigan was the only thing both sides were at that point gone to guns and bombs with each other. The only thing they agreed on was Barry McGuigan, and some poor sap had to go to Belfast and fight him. And I remember thinking, whatever you do, opposing guy, lay down in the first round, because if you come close to winning this fight, you are going to be going home in a box.
All right, now it is time to yell sports.
Oh, no, I'm not going to yell sports for this because this is actual sports.
Okay. Earlier this month, a 22-year-old man named Leroy Stoltzfus ran the Harrisburg Marathon in a not-too-shabby 3 hours and 5 minutes. What's particularly noteworthy here is that he was wearing a long-sleeve shirt, slacks, and suspenders. What was that about?
He's Amish.
Oh, okay.
And he ran in traditional costume, and he said the problem he had was he started out too fast.
A problem
often
for people
marathons.
In shorts
exactly.
and T-shirts. Exactly. And finally, Charlie,
sports!
I knew we wouldn't get through the entire... Anyway, An unnamed California man attending last Saturday's Wisconsin-Northwestern football game was ejected from Camp Randall Stadium after he tried to switch seats so he could be nearer to his friends. I love his response. What do you think?
He sent the University of Wisconsin police 240 coconut donuts.
Mm.
There's a barely concealed subtext in this gift, but it certainly is in the spirit of Thanksgiving.
Charlie Pierce joins me each week on Only a Game. Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Bill.